we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we welcome you to the Refresh Radio program. Trust that you had a wonderful weekend worshiping the Lord, hearing his word, applying it to your life. Got to hang out with some wonderful people. Last week, I was on the phone with a salesperson. We were needing to order something, and it was in had to do with our audio visual equipment or our sound equipment, and so we were having to order some things, and I got a hold of a guy, and the longer he talked, the more he sounded like my brother-in-law, not according to the tone of his voice, but just the manner in which he spoke. And so I listened, and I just had to interrupt him. I said, you know, the longer this conversation is going, the more you remind me of my brother-in-law. And he said, well, he must be a really cool guy. And I said, well, he is now that he married into our family. And the body of Christ is a place where people who were dead in their trespasses and sin, they get to find that place that God had created them for. And so I pray that you got to hang out with some really cool saints over the weekend, and that you not only got to receive from them, but you got to bless them with your gifts as well. I was watching, I was watching this program on Netflix, and I saw this line, and or I heard this line, and it said, you know, in the family of humanity, there are no extra parts. There are no extra parts. There are no unnecessary parts. And I pray that you would have the realization of just how important you are to God and how important you are to the body of Christ. So I hope you had a great weekend and that you did get to hang out with some really wonderful saints. We want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They do really excellent work with concrete block and stucco work, and I know that things are picking up a little bit as far as the construction industry goes here in Brevard County. And so if you need any help in those areas, maybe you're doing an addition to your house, or you're a contractor that's listening, and maybe you dealt with somebody and they didn't, their work wasn't up to par or whatever, give them a call, 536-5804, 536-5804, and they can help get you fixed up. We're going to begin a new series here, and we're going to be talking about Abraham. We're going to be talking about some of the various areas of his life. And so that's where we're going to start today. And, at some point in time, we're going to talk about Abraham's kids. And, but I want to set the stage before we get to that place, because Abraham is such an important figure for us in Christianity. If we are people of faith, we are children of Abraham. And so I want to take you to Genesis chapter 11 today. Genesis chapter 11, that's where we're going to begin. A friend of ours posted on Facebook this passage of scripture here probably a week or so ago. And my daughter commented after she posted it that a certain preacher that she knows had just preached on this aspect not too long ago, and was wondering if maybe they hadn't been in our service and just didn't come up and say hi. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 11, verse number 31, and it says, "And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So we're going to stop there just a moment, because Terah is Abraham's father. And while he was in Ur of the Chaldeans, his son Haran died. And there are a lot of people that whenever a death occurs, or whenever there's a major transition in their life occurs, you know, they just need to get away from that situation. They need to get away from that problem and all of the memories and all of the heartaches. And, you know, I understand that to some extent. You know, we caution people whenever you have experienced a trauma. You know, you don't want to make any rash decisions. You want to make sure that what you are doing is what God wants you to do. And you don't want to just be running away from your problems. Here's the problem with running away from your problems. Your problems are not because of external circumstances. Your problems come from the attachments of your heart. And if you try and run away from the things that your heart was attached to, when you get to the new place, your heart is still attached to those things, and it's going to look for the same things that it was running away from, only in a new place, in a new environment. That's why if a person is addicted to drugs, they can relocate from one geographic region to another, but when they get there, they will have less difficulty finding a drug dealer in that issue than I would. I couldn't even begin to tell you how to find a drug dealer, because if I talked to him, I'd want to share the gospel with him and have him come to faith in Jesus Christ. And in the course of my daily activities, I don't run across drug dealers. But a person who's addicted to drugs, they could come into the region and they could find a drug dealer within a very short period of time, because there's a heart attraction to that. And so you can't run away from your problems. Now, one of the things that we advise people is you don't make rash decisions. And so if you've had the death of a loved one, you don't want to make a snap judgment and say, okay, well, I'm going to sell this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you need to take time and allow God to heal your heart. There is a mourning process that we go through. And you want to make sure that you allow God to heal your heart, so that the decisions that you make are based out of the spiritual direction that the Lord leads you, not the decisions that your emotions would seem to dictate that this would be expedient, it would be something that you need to do. So I just want to encourage you, you know, Terah started his journey because his son had died in the land, and so he grabs his grandson, he grabs his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram, and they head out. And they are on their way, they are journeying, get this, to the land of Canaan. They are on their way to the land of Canaan. And in chapter 12, we'll talk about this in just a minute, but that ends up being Abraham's land of promise. That ends up being where Abraham got there, but it is where he began that journey. That was the destination he began the journey to with his father. But if you look at verse number 31, it says, "And they came to Haran and dwelt there." So they came to a place. He named that place after his son, who had passed away, and he was, you know, pretty old, 205, it says here, and that's on up there, pretty good. He gets to be that age. He gets to a place and he said, you know what, I'm not where I'm at before, and I'm just going to commemorate this place that I'm at to the legacy of my son. And so he names that place after his son, Haran. And then he abandons his journey. He got to a place where he was comfortable. He wasn't where he was before, but he wasn't at the destination that that he was striving for in the first place. There was a journey that he was going to make, and he got a part way there, and he said, you know what? This is close enough. Today, I want to challenge you to evaluate where you are. Are you where you were, or are you on a journey? Or the third option, have you stopped somewhere in between the beginning and the end of the journey? You haven't got to your destination yet, but you've reached a place and you're comfortable and you have stopped pressing in. Last Wednesday at our vintage service, a person came up and said, pray for me because I want the passion for God that I once had. I want that to be the norm in my life. And so today I want to ask you on this Monday, it's the first day of the week, and we look and say, you know, it's going to be a long week, whatever you've got on your calendar. And I don't want to settle. At the beginning of the week, can we just begin to believe God that we are not going to settle for anything less than the ultimate destination that He has for us? There is a commercial on television, and I don't even know what it's advertising. I've seen it a couple of times, and it's got some next door neighbors, and one of the neighbors are called the Settlers. They, you know, they're out there farming their front yard. You know, they're having to make their own clothing. They're in there having to churn their own butter is one of the lines. And again, I couldn't tell you what the product is because I just haven't paid that much attention to the product. It's just that, you know, the concept that even though in 2016 we may not be pioneering new spaces here in America, but there are people who are still settling for less than God has destined them for. So can we just pray today? I mean, we're almost halfway through the program here. Can we just pray that if we have settled, if we've become complacent, if we've stopped pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of us, can we say, you know, God, let me start the journey again. Help me not to settle. Don't let me not just settle for this place because it's better than the last place. But I want to settle. I don't want to settle for anything less than God's best, God's promises, and God's provisions for me. So, Father, I pray right now that if there is anybody today and that is in this place, maybe they started their journey with you, but God, they've become complacent. It's been a long time since they've gained fresh insight into your word. It's been a long time since they heard anything remarkable in their prayer time. God, it's been a long time since they've seen you bring someone to salvation. It's been a long time since there's been any spiritual growth or they've been used by the Holy Spirit to bring kingdom growth. God, today we remind you, you said you will build your church. And I pray today that the mindset of a settling would be done away with, that there would be a renewed passion for the things of God. Lord, that today that there would be a desire to hear from you, and there would be a drive within us that says, I'm not going to settle for anything less than God's best for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So Tara decided that he was going to be a settler. So it's, by the way, in case you wonder how I know that Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, it says in verse number 28 that Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. And so I just didn't want you to think I was pulling that out of my hat someplace. It's actually what happened. Excuse me. So let's look down to chapter 12 and verse number 1. And it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And so here he is. Now we would be considering, you know, Abram well into the age of his retirement. But here is the great thing about this. Abram was on the verge of his greatest spiritual encounters. So I want to just to tell you today, it is never too late to start your journey. Maybe your mom or your dad, maybe they began to a relationship with God, but they didn't get real far in it. But there was something that you saw in them, and all of a sudden, now God is stirring something in you and says, you know what? You do not have to repeat the failures of those who've gone before you. Last week, I was just absolutely ecstatic. I was dealing with a real estate agent who happens to be a born-again Christian, and everywhere she went, I was there for moral support, for somebody that we were trying to help find housing for. And everywhere that this lady went, she was talking about, church. She was talking about the exciting things that God was doing. She's just so excited about her relationship with God and all that God is doing. And along the line of the discussion, she said that she was the first Christian in her family, the first born-again Christian in her family. And I got so excited about that. And you know what? This lady is on such an exciting journey with God that, you know, she just literally cannot contain her speech. I mean, she just talks about him all the time. It was so exciting, so refreshing. I want to ask you, when was the last time you had a conversation with somebody and you shared the great things that God was doing in your life? You see, this lady has no intent, no desire to settle for anything less than God's best. And so she has seen God's miraculous provision. I told, a lady at my church, I said, I saw someone today in the community yesterday, this was on a Wednesday when I told this lady that I had met this real estate lady on Tuesday. And I said, I got a sense of what it must be like for a total stranger who encounters you because of all of the great things that God had done for you. And so I pray that all of us will have that excitement. Listen, last year was phenomenal for Merit Assembly of God. It had its ups and downs. It had its challenges. I had never had a detached retina before. I'd had shoulder surgery before, but this surgery was a new adventure dealing with spirit-filled believers in the medical field. It was so exciting to see that. There were breakthroughs. There were people who gave their heart to the Lord, people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Lots of exciting things that took place last year. But I'm not trying to duplicate 2016 this year, and you shouldn't be either. I'm not trying to reduplicate past glories. I'm trying to press on to take hold because God has a great destination for us in 2016. So if I were to ask you to write down, what is the one thing that God is speaking to you and saying that he is going to take you to this place this year? If you were able to identify that one destination, what would it be? Because if you can't name it, you won't ever know if you got there. If you can't identify it, you will not recognize it when you see it. And so that's what happened. It says that even though Terah had settled in Haran, and Abram, as a result of that, had settled, that one day God started speaking to Abram. And he said, it's time to start the journey again. It's time to load up, and it's time to move on to a new destination. My wife and I, we were married, had a call for ministry, had been in the ministry, but it had been 2 years since I had had a position in a church. And during that time, we were praying, we were serving in our local church, we were sending out resumes, we were working full time, and we just lived literally like vagabonds. We had a place to live, but most of the stuff that we had, we kept boxed up because we were just confident that God was going to open up a door any day. And we had gone on and gone on and gone on and gone on, and we had continued to live like that. And one day I had all of it that I could stand. There's only so much of that sort of congestion that I can deal with. And I said, we are going to unpack everything. Now understand, we'd been married for 2 years at this point in time, almost 2 years. And we still had wedding gifts that were still in their original box because we were just waiting for God to say, this is where I'm sending you. And so for 2 years, we had not opened them. They were still in the original packaging. And I said, we are going to find a place for everything. We are not going to, we're not going to deal with the clutter anymore. To give you a funny story, we had so much stuff crammed into such a small apartment that one night my wife was having a dream, and she just reached out and she just kicked the fire out of me. And I said, ow, what was that for? And at that point in time, she realized she'd had a dream. And she said, well, if you had moved that box of books out of the way, I wouldn't be kicking like this. And what was happening in her dream was she was dreaming that she was kicking a box of books because it was in the way. You know, that's how much clutter we had. So we said, we're doing away with all of this. So we had a day off together. We unpacked everything. We put it all away. And the next day I was, I worked the late shift. I was, in the shower getting ready to go to work. And all of a sudden the phone rang. And, so soon as I got done with the shower, I came to the phone, and it was a pastor that I didn't know that somehow had got a hold of a resume of ours. And he said, we're going to be in town tomorrow night, and we would like to take you and your wife to dinner. And so we went to dinner with him. That was, I believe, on a Thursday night. And what happened from that was we ended up getting offered a job, and it came time to repack all of the things that we had just unpacked because God was telling us it's time to begin the journey again. You see, I'm not here to beat you up for any time that you spent at Haran. Those 2 years were a time of healing for us for the trauma that we had gone through, you know, before we got married. It was a time where God was working on us. And so it wasn't an unnecessary time. It wasn't a time that we would want to go through again, but it was a necessary time. And I will tell you this, God does all things well, and his timing is impeccable. His timing is flawless. And so today, maybe the Lord would use this radio program because you've camped out short of your destination a little bit too long. And today, he's using this radio program to give you an invitation to say, would you mind packing up your belongings? And would you mind beginning the journey again? Only this time, instead of journeying with your father, would you take a journey with me? You see, folks, one of the great things that I think gets probably underemphasized in our relationship with God is that he's on the journey with us. Here in a couple of weeks, my wife and I are going to be taking a journey. And so it's going to be a little bit of a road trip. And we have two different mindsets about them. And after, you know, being married for 30 years, we've learned to deal with the realities a little bit. But she's a person that wants to enjoy. Now she does not enjoy road trips because most of the times whenever we've traveled, we've had long distances to go, only 7 or 8 days to make a round trip. And so, you know, my thing is let's get there as quick as we can so we can enjoy our families as long as we can. But she likes to enjoy the journey and see some of the sights that are there. And, you know, the older I get, the more I appreciate the journey, not just, you know, traveling down the road. So God wants to be on this journey with us. And I can tell you that traveling with God is a lot more enjoyable than trying to make it to a destination in this life without him. You and I can't do it. We can't jump high enough. We cannot work hard enough. We cannot give enough. We need the presence of God. Apart from him, we can do nothing. And so today, I just want to let you know, God is still knocking. You know, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to make that road trip with us. He wants to lead us and order our steps and direct our path. And so I can tell you this, life is good when God is saying, "Hey, let's go on this trip together." So I pray that you will not only begin the journey, that you will not journey alone, but that today you'll hear that Jesus is saying, "Hey, I've got a place for you, and I want to take you there." And this is going to be an enjoyable journey. So that's what we're going to begin talking about. I pray that you have a great Monday. May God be with you. May God speak to your heart. May he invite you and summon you to a closer place than you've ever been before with him. May you hear his voice clearly and distinctly today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.
It's like an orange.